because of the God that I serve, I'm still here. I'm still standing. I'm still in the game, still in the arena. Satan still has me and my purpose to contend with. Amen? Amen. He's still got something to deal with. Today, after a week of consecration, we ought to be at our spiritual strongest, shouldn't we? We should be on top of our game. We should be at our best. What I want to deal with today, however, is that despite our intentions and despite even times of consecration, when we're trying to be focused on things committed to God, sometimes our best doesn't seem good enough. Many of us had successful weeks, but somebody tripped and fell in the middle of consecration. I know it's true. We fall even during the times that we think we're doing our best. Today, what I want you to learn, what I hope to impart to you the best way I know how, is that the main reason why we are not fully successful when we're trying to be our best is because actually it's not your best at all. You likely have never seen your best. And the good thing is, guess what? The enemy hasn't seen your best either. He is in trouble. He's in trouble after today, that's for sure. Because you're going to leave here today a greater threat to the enemy and a greater asset to God. And you should be poised and positioned to have a more victorious life. Are you all right with that? I want to tell you two things that I want you to commit to memory. I want you to know, number one, that every battle that you fight with the enemy, whether you think it's in your flesh or from your environment, is spiritual. Every battle that you have with the enemy, whether you think it's your environment bringing it on you or in your flesh, it's actually spiritual. And because it's spiritual, and we don't always realize that, we're not always prepared for that, that is why willpower and good intentions are not enough. Willpower and good intentions are not enough. The second thing I want you to know and to commit to memory is every single battle that you face, that you're facing now, and that you will face is winnable. Every single battle. You can live victoriously. You can tap dance on Satan's head. You can have a life like that. Amen. It's not that there won't be battles, but you can be victorious. And there's a lot at stake. Because when we lose, we get hurt. But also when we lose, others are hurt that are looking at us and looking to us and watching us. And also God's purpose and plan and God's cause here on earth that he intends to do through us is also harmed. Let's go to our text, which will be found in the book of Ephesians. We're still there. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to be focused, our text will come from verses 10 through 17. We see here Paul wrapping up this wonderful book that he wrote to the church at Ephesus, that love church, that church that got so good at being critical of people and not having any false prophets in their midst that they lost their first love. But he is punctuating this letter to this church that he established with some instructions that are critical for them, but also critical for us to live an overcoming life as a believer. Are you with me? Amen. Our text again is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Just eight little verses. Say amen if you have it.
Amen.
Say amen again if you have it.
Amen.
I think this text of scripture is kind of nice. It starts out with with the word finally. 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 Let's read verse 10 together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Are you ready to be strong? Are you willing to do what it takes to be strong in the Lord? Amen. Are you willing? Now, interestingly enough, this word finally, which I love, actually can also be translated as from now on. Henceforth, from this day forward, in other words, for the rest of your life. Be strong in the Lord. Tell your neighbor, look at him, look him right in the eye and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Really find a neighbor. Neighbor.
I'm going
to be strong
in the Lord
for the rest
of my life.
Amen. Now tell him this. Neighbor,
you are going
to be strong
in the Lord
starting right now.
Right now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now let's all tell Satan.
Satan,
my honor,
my purpose,
my God are worth fighting for.
Satan,
my honor.
My purpose,
my God, are worth fighting for. Give
somebody
a high five and say hallelujah. Are you ready to be strong? Are you willing to do what it takes to be strong? This is what Paul is telling them. He's saying finally, but he's really saying from here on out, I need you to be strong. From here on out, I need you to handle your business. From here on out, I need you to tap dance on him.
Yes.
Not have it the other way around.
Yes.
From here on out, I need you to think like Malcolm X. He said, we didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. We don't want Satan on top of our head. We want to have victory over him day in and day out. Yes. Temptation after temptation.
Yes.
Test after test. We want to be clear what it takes to be victorious on the regular. Because I know we trip and fall. We talked about darkness and not dabbling and slipping into darkness last week. I know the song popped into your head again. But it doesn't have to be. And after today, my hope and prayer and even expectation is that you will have more and more victories in your life. Amen? Now, he goes on to say in verse 11, after he said, finally, from henceforth, for the rest of your life, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power, the effectuated power of his might. What does he say that we are to do? He says it in verse 11. Let's read it together. Put on the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. He says, put on the what? Put on the what? Put on the what?
The whole armor of God.
Now, as we read that, it's very easy to miss the emphasis because you can't tell. He says, I want you to be strong in the Lord. I believe we've all bought into that. But he says, in order to do so, he says, put on the whole armor of God. What I want you to understand is that his emphasis there, obviously this is the armor of God. This ain't your armor. This is not you being vindictive. This is not you being evil. This is not you being stubborn. Because when we say be strong, you know, we start thinking I'm going to ball my fist up. I'm going to tighten my muscles up. I'm going to be stubborn. I'm going to dig my heels in. You're not going to be able to tell me nothing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But you got to know how to do that. in a practical sense as we walk here on earth. The thing that he's emphasizing here that I want you to know, and if you don't know anything else today, you should know this. He's emphasizing the word whole. He's trying to tell you put on the whole armor of God, meaning including every single aspect, every single piece, every single part, every single component, because the problem is we leave parts out. That's why we can't be victorious like we should be. That's why we're never at our best or rarely at our best. That's why we don't have the victories that we should. Now, we're going to come back to this, but for now, let's move on to verse 12. Now, he's told us to be powerful, to operate in God's power. And he's told us to do so, we need to put on the whole armor of God. He says for, which means because. In other words, I've told you to do this because we what?
Wrestle not against flesh, mm-hmm. but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Mm-hmm. If you're a new saint, you might not have known this. We have a couple folks that are relatively new in Christendom, and you might not have realized while you're trying to do the right thing every day, when you're trying to be at your best, you may not have realized that you were up against this kind of stuff. You need to understand you're not dealing with no what we used to call in my day, Rudy Poots. You are not wrestling against flesh and blood when the world is coming at you and trying to get you down. You're not even wrestling against flesh and blood when it's your flesh rising up, whether it's anger, whether it's sexual temptation, whether it's greed. Oh, it's flesh. But the battle with your flesh is actually triggered and sponsored by and empowered by spirit. You need to understand you're not dealing with no half-hearted enemy. You're dealing with, and I want you to understand what he's telling you, is you're dealing with the highest powers in the spiritual realm other than God. You are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, authorities, against powers, against rulers, not also-rans, rulers of darkness. When you go into the darkness, when you give into those temptations, when you do what you shouldn't do, when you're where you shouldn't be, when you're with who you shouldn't be with, when you're thinking the way you shouldn't think, when you have what you should not have, when you drift into the darkness, you're going into his territory. You're going on his turf. You can't win. There's no way you can win there. You don't belong there. That's what he wants you to do. You're dealing with high-level enemy here against spiritual wickedness in high places. You're dealing with the best of the best, and they mean business, and they don't take any days off. Verse 13. He says, wherefore, in other words, therefore, take unto you what?
The whole armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand.
Whew, there's so much there. Unpacking that, I'm looking at the clock. Ah, oh, he says, wherefore, in other words, therefore, take unto you the same instruction, what? The whole armor of God. That means all of it. That means every little bit of it. That means every implement, every part of it, the whole armor of God. We have military people here. We have at least one. When you go into battle, you need all of your armor. He says, take on the whole armor of God. Why? So that you will be able to, and I need to make a correction, not withstand. It says withstand, but the Greek word actually is so that you can stand, not withstand. Not taking on a barrage that he puts onto you, so that you can stand, is what he's saying. Take on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to stand, what? In the evil day. This doesn't mean some day way into the future. It means any day that your temptation rolls up on you. It means any day when you think in the wrong way and ready to say and do the wrong thing. It means any day that your flesh wants to rule instead of God's spirit. It means any day that you're ready to go off the track and stop running your race. It means any day that you're ready to give up because Satan's got the upper hand. It means any day you need to be ready to what? Stand. And what? Having done all, to stand. Now I'm going to unpack that just real quick because we have a song about that. And you know how songs go. They don't necessarily break it down before they write the song. It sounds good. We tend to think, and we sometimes even preach, and we certainly teach, and the song certainly emphasizes that having done all to stand means that I do everything I have in my power, with my mind, with my intellect, with my strength, all that I can do until all of my faculties run out, and then I hand it over to God. Oh, you take it. Woo, this is too heavy. God, can you take this? Woo, I can't. I must be JV and you varsity. This is too big for me. This demon's too big for me, God. I tried to fight him. I need to bring the big boys in. Having done all that you can do, then you just stand on the sidelines and let God take care of it. Now, that sounds good. And there are times when you try to bear up and you say, Lord, I can't take it anymore. And he's like, well, you know, you weren't supposed to be fighting that in the first place. I was supposed to be fighting it. But what he is saying, he's telling you to put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand in those evil times of your life, not a day by and by, not a day far into the future, but you want to do this so you can stand and be victorious in that day, having done all. Does that sound future tense, present tense, or past tense? Past. Having done all. All. Now you can stand. Having done what all? Put on the whole armor of God. Now you can stand. If you try to stand first before you put on the armor, you will not succeed. You'll think you're doing the right thing. You'll have the right intentions. You'll have all your little old willpower. You will not be able, not against that enemy, not against principalities of power, spiritual wickedness in high places. No, 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 no. You better, having done some, having done most, having done almost everything. No, no, no. Having done all, then you can stand. This is a battle cry. Having done all. All, then you can stand. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you run out into the battlefield, Sister Renee, and then put on your armor? Do you put on your armor and all your gear on the way? Not if you can help it. No, 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 no. You get strapped up. You get the call. It's time to rock and roll. You get strapped up, and then you're able to stand. Not the other way around. And you don't want to leave your helmet. you don't want to leave any of your gear because you don't know when you're going to need it. There's some parts of your gear that are only good for distant battle, impersonal. And there's some parts of your gear that are only going to work in hand-to-hand, up-close, intimate combat. You need all of it. Because you don't know what you're going to deal with. You need all of it because you don't know who you're dealing with. You need all of it because you don't know where it's coming from. You need all of it because guess what? Satan don't look like Satan. You need all of it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So having done all, Pastor, thank you for teaching me. Having done all doesn't mean you do everything you can in your ability and then you turn it over to God. Sounds good. It has some application, but that's not what that word says, despite the songs. having done what I told you to do, which is put on the whole armor of God, now you can stand. Because you're going to have some battles because you have a great enemy. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
Having done all the things I told you to do, now you can stand. So now that we realize what we're dealing with, now that we realize who we're dealing with, now that we realize how serious the enemy is and how serious the battle is, does that sound a little scary to anybody? Does that sound a little intimidating to anybody? Well, it should sound scary and it should sound intimidating because you have a serious, committed enemy who's going to go down swinging and he's going to take down as many of us as possible. But it only sounds intimidating, it only sounds scary if you don't know the whole truth. Once you know the whole truth, you're not intimidated, you're not scared, not one bit. Let's go for that truth. For that truth, we have to go back to verse 11. It reads, put on the what?
Whole armor of God.
Uh-huh. So that you what? Uh-huh. So we put on every single piece of our armor. We roll with every piece of our armor from the moment we get up all the way to the moment we walk out into the world, because a lot of our problems happen in the house, so you got to strap it on immediately. Right? So that we can do what? We have to pay close attention to what he's saying, because he meant what he said when he said it. He says, put on the whole armor of God, every single part of it, so that you can what? So that you'll be able to what? Stand against what? Against what? Against what? Against the power of the devil? Against the might of the devil? Huh? No. Against what? The wiles of the devil. This is why you got to know the whole truth. You need to have all of your armor on so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. What does that mean? It means trickery. It means craftiness. It means deception. It means schemes. Did you know that the devil is not strong enough to take you down? Did you know this? You've been losing battles all your Christian life. You've been falling and saying, I'm sorry. You've been falling and saying, I just can't do it. You've been falling, and you didn't know. You can win all of those. It's not just somebody else. Somebody else that seems to have their stuff together. Somebody else that seems to have been walking longer in the Lord than you. Somebody else that wears a collar or carries a Bible all the time. No, you can be victorious. No, what you're dealing with, he can't knock you off, not when you have your armor. But he's tricky. He tells you just what you want to hear. He offers you just what you feel like claiming. Oh, yeah. He'll relieve that stress that God's trying to test you with and refine you with. He'll relieve it prematurely. He'll relieve it early. He'll release you on your own recognizance. Because he loves you like that. He's tricky. He's smooth. He's the ultimate con man. That's what you're dealing with. You need to have all of your armor to deal with the wiliness of the enemy. Now, that sounds counterintuitive. You think, armor, I need to go and throw bombs and fight, right? Oh, it's a fight. But you need to know who you're fighting against. He can't beat you. Did you know that? He can't win unless you give it to him. Every single battle you've ever lost, every temptation you slipped into, every time you went into the darkness and you were with somebody that you shouldn't be with, doing something you shouldn't be doing, having something you shouldn't be having, going somewhere you shouldn't be going, you fell into that and you lost that battle because you gave it away. He can't take it. He can't take it from you. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Can you even handle the fact that you got that much power? That unfortunately, what I'm telling you right now sets you free, but it also burdens you because there's no excuses. It's like, darn, Pastor, I can win, so when I fall, I can, oh, Lord, you know I'm human. Oh, you love me as I am. Thank God for grace. No, you could have won. You knowingly, voluntarily gave over that victory to the enemy. Why? Because he offered you what you wanted. Keep it real. He offered you what you wanted. That's why you lost that battle. You gave him the hill. He didn't take it. Amen?
Amen.
We give it to him. It's not because Satan's so strong. He's just tricky. He's just sly. He studies you. He watches game tape on you. He knows your tendencies. He knows your weaknesses. Your tendencies and weaknesses are not the same as his. Yours are not the same as hers. But he studies every single one of you. He doesn't have an off season. LeBron tweeted out, I'm in the gym, working out. See me? That's Satan all the time. He doesn't take a break. And he knows exactly what you want, that you've been asking God for, that God hasn't given you yet, so he knows how to give you a counterfeit version of it sooner than God would have given you the real thing that would bless you. He knows exactly what shape you like him. He knows exactly what they need to say to you to get you feeling like a real man. He knows exactly what they need to say to you to make you feel like an appreciated woman for who you are. He knows exactly what price you'll go for. He knows exactly what position and what accolades you could get that will suck you in. He knows exactly how much money to offer you to get you to tell that lie. He knows exactly what your weaknesses are. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's not because he's strong. It's because he's smart. Now, he's not that smart. He was dumb enough to try to challenge God and get kicked out of heaven. You know, it's like the kids that get kicked out of school. Then they want to get the other kids to be bad with them. After they did the dumb thing, they want others to be with them. You know how that works? They don't want to be by themselves. And then some knucklehead follows them along, a follower instead of being a leader in their own lives. That's how he is. This is what you're up against. Let's be clear. I just want you to know for the rest of your life, you can be strong, but you need to know what you're being strong against. He's just tricky. He can't beat you. But because you are in a fallen state, your flesh wants stuff, and you start thinking stuff, and you start feeling stuff. Then you want to act on what you thought and what you felt. Men think their way into feeling a certain way. Women feel a certain way, and that causes them to think a certain way. That's how that works. But Satan knows all that. So he messes with the woman's emotions. Then she starts thinking a certain way, and you wonder why she ain't making no sense. You trying to talk to her, it ain't making no sense. And a man thinks first, then he starts feeling some type of way, and then he ain't making no sense. We just approach it from two different angles. But he know, my point is, he knows humanity. He knows it. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
He knows that he cannot defeat you. All these times you slipping into darkness, you tripping and falling, and all this stuff you need to say, oh, I'm so sorry for, I'm human. He cannot beat you if you have the whole armor on.
Yeah.
He knows this. So his job, therefore, is to trick you into neglecting at least some part, if not all, of your armor. I want to be careful about what I say here, but there's some ladies that pull that same trick on some guys. And 9 months later, they get the prize. Try to trick you into not strapping it on. It's not new. Satan cannot beat you with all of your armor on. So his job is to get you to voluntarily disarm. He cannot beat you with your armor on. Amen? He just wants you to neglect at least some portion of your armor, because then you are vulnerable. Let's quickly go through what this armor looks like that gives you, that ensures you victory. Let's go to verse 14. This is what the armor looks like. This is that whole armor of who? Of God. So that you can do what? Against what? Yeah. See, if you have on this armor, you're not subject, you're not vulnerable to his tricks. He says, stand therefore, what? Having. Stop. Having is what? Future, present, or past? No. Having. That's all right. I studied it. You didn't. You get a pass. Having done all to stand, right? So stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That means your loins are already girt about with truth. Okay, so once you take your stand, once you make your stand, you've already gotten dressed, and the garments that are closest to your skin are truth. If you can't handle truth, if you can't deal in truth, you've lost already. You can't win. There's no point in you strapping them on. If you can't handle and operate in truth, and some of us can't do that. Some of us rather denial. Some of us don't really believe the Bible. Some of us don't really believe we're the child of the King. Some of us don't really believe that our lives and our actions affect ourselves and others and God's mission on earth. Some of us don't want to deal in truth. We live in fantasy and we like it. If you can't deal with truth, well, you can't put that on first, it's over. You've lost. So somebody, the only thing missing is you need to just look. Cry if you have to. Ball up in a corner if you have to. But deal with the truth. Deal with the truth. Having your loins, basically your dress, it's your closest garments to your skin about with truth. And what? Having the breastplate of what? Yes, the breastplate protects your heart. That's a pretty vital organ, is it not? How do you protect that vital organ? Well, with the breastplate. And the breast is the breastplate. What is your breastplate spiritually to protect your heart? It is righteousness. But it doesn't mean righteousness means I'm going to walk and live a perfect life. I'm not going to make any mistakes. That's not what that means. This is the same righteousness. This word is the same word where when we learned several weeks ago, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all that other stuff will be added unto you. This is God. You're seeking first. You want God's judicial approval. If your goal is not to please God and get his approval, you've lost. Your heart is not protected. You are a goner. If it's not God's approval you're trying to get, oh, you'll sleep with her. If it's not God's approval you're trying to get, oh, you'll take money the wrong way. Or if it's not God's approval you're trying to get, oh, you'll take that position or that career that glorifies you before men before you go and do what God told you to do. If it's not God that you're trying to, if that's not the approval you're looking for, you're an easy shot for the Satan. You're just ripe for the pickings. So if you're not dealing in truth, and if you're not trying to please God first, you're easy. All she got to do is whisper in your ear, you're a goner. All they got to do is make you feel good, make you feel special, make you feel desired, make you feel smart. Got you. And you'll turn on the very ones that love you because they just make you feel so needed. So knowledgeable, so important. The wiles of the devil. The folks back at home that love me, they take me for granted. They don't lift me up. They don't affirm me enough. They don't say those things I need to hear enough. That might be true. But when you start getting stinking thinking behind it, pow, easy pickings. I'm teaching right about now. Satan's in trouble because somebody's listening. He says in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Not complicated here. All this means, remember, this is all a military analogy. All that means is your feet in the ready position. That's all. Strapped up with of course, some boots on. In the ready position, though. With a solid foundation in the attack slash defense position. It means not standing up here like this with your shield down to your side. It means not just putting your shield up like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll check that box. No. A solid base. It's a lot harder to deal with you. You can shield yourself a lot harder in the ready position. This is what he's telling you. So when you're dealing with Satan and you're like, oh, yeah, I got this. You eating grapes and having a good old time. Ain't no big deal. I'm not dealing with a tough enemy. That's not going to work. You need to always be in the ready position. You know you go into situations that you want to fall into intentionally not in the ready position. You know why? Because you want something to happen that you could say you couldn't help. You want something to go down. You want it to get halfway there so you can say, oh, it's too late. I'm there. But you invited it. You intentionally did not shod your feet with the preparation. You intentionally were not in the ready position because you wanted to make yourself feel all right doing it. I'm just human. Woo, that river is just too strong, Lord. You intentionally were not in the ready position. You intentionally left out that part of your armor. You did everything else. You sound all holified, glorified, all the stuff, but you intentionally weren't ready. So, oh, Cal, God, take me away. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm just a little human me. And then he says in verse 16, above all, taking what?
Shield
of faith, wherewith ye shall be what? So the Bible says that you actually will be able to quench how many?
All
of the fiery darts of the wicked. So you can quench all of the fiery darts because he's going to fire them. But it's just said you can quench them all. Do you want to quench them all? That's why I asked you the first question. Do you actually want to do this? Do you want to be powerful in the Lord? Do you want to be mighty in the Lord? Do you want to live victoriously? Some of us don't want to because we kind of want a little bit of the, you know, what we can get away with. But Paul is calling an army. He's calling people who are ready to rock that you can trust your back to. You can't trust your back to people that on today and off tomorrow trying to think of excuses not to be with the people of God and not to do what God wants you to do sometime halfway, people. He's not calling for that. For the rest of your life, for the rest of this battle, for the rest of this journey, I got to know you on post and on point and you mean business. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Remember, in the ready position. Now, this above all doesn't mean it's more important than everything else. It actually means more in addition to everything else. You need to do this. If you don't have faith, if you don't believe God, if you don't believe God when he told you to do something, or not to do something. If you don't believe God when he said who you are, what he said about you, if you don't believe God when he said what you were going to do in this life, how many folks you were going to preach to, how many folks you were going to heal, how many lives you were going to deliver, how many hearts you were going to heal. If you don't believe God, what he said, Satan's got something for you that you're going to take. Guaranteed. Nature does not tolerate a vacuum. So if you're not believing God, oh, yeah. Oh, God's told you something. But if you don't believe him, Satan's got a substitute for you, all right? So you can actually deal with all those fiery darts with your shield in the ready position. But you got to want to, amen? You've got to believe your God. What good does it do for the creator of the universe to come and tell you, this is what the truth is about you, and this is what I want to do with you. And along the way, I need you to not to do this, and I need you to do that. The creator of the universe now takes his time out to care enough about you to tell you something. Are you not going to believe it? But this is what we do. Because it's not sexy enough. Because it doesn't fit what we think our gifts were created for. It doesn't land us in a place that gives us the accolades we were looking for. It doesn't tickle that fancy. It doesn't scratch that itch. Oh, but there's somebody that will give you exactly what you're looking for. Exactly what you want. And you'll make it God's will. We will make it God's will. But that's how Satan tricks us. We have the victory. We give it away. Amen?
Amen.
In sports, you know who the best team is, and they'll say, oh, the team gave it away. It's because they had an opponent that was all in, and they were not. Underestimating your enemy is your first mistake. Amen?
Amen.
I could talk about Kim Jong-un right about now, but we don't have time. We need to go. Woo, underestimating your enemy. I could talk about ISIS right now. Woo, I could talk about Osama bin Laden and his organization. You push it in one way, it's going to show up somewhere else. Underestimating your enemy is your first mistake. I'm almost done. So you need to understand and believe what God has told you to do and not to do, what God has told you about you and about what your purpose here is here on earth. And if you don't accept it, if you don't believe him, you will take Satan's offer. I guarantee it. That's not a maybe. That's not a kinda. It will happen. Unfortunately, in some cases, it has happened. Verse 17. He says, and take the helmet of salvation. Don't forget your helmet now, because your head can't handle much pressure. Your helmet of salvation and what? The sword of the Spirit. What's the sword of the Spirit?
Word of God.
Uh-huh. Don't forget that. This is your only offensive weapon, actually. Everything else is defensive. So don't forget that helmet of salvation. You got your salvation? You check that box? You got your helmet on? Everybody here? We good? But don't leave without your sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. I'm almost done, but I need to make this clear. This is not talking about the Bible, so it's like, all right, I'm going on that battlefield. I got my Bible. You and the Bible will have holes in it. That doesn't mean that the Bible isn't important. The Bible is important. It's everything that we say that it is. But that's not what this was talking about. The Bible didn't exist when this man wrote these words. His letter that he was writing much later became part of the Bible. And some letters that he wrote got lost. Some letters that he wrote didn't get accepted into the Bible. When he says the Word of God, it's not the Logos. It's the Rhema. It's the spoken, fresh, uncut Word of God. Untranslated Word of God. What did he say to you? What did he tell you to do? When did he tell you to do it? What did the fresh, uncut Word of God tell you about you, what you're supposed to do, and when and how? What did the Rhema Word of God speak into your life? That's your sword. Speak that. He can't take it. Speak that. He'll bleed all over the battlefield. Speak that, and he'll go running. Speak that. What did God say about you? Not some translated word. Yes, it's important, but sometimes you don't even know what you're saying because the translation wasn't right. You need that, but ain't no getting around. What did God say about you? He don't need the Bible to say that. I said, you are my child. You can handle these tough situations. That's why I have you in them, because I built you that way. All you got to do is accept it. I made you a certain way, and I called you for a certain thing, and I'm waiting for you to walk into it. That's what God said. Yeah. You tell Satan that, he'll go running. He can't handle that. But you can't use your sword if you left your helmet at home. You can't use your sword if you're not in a ready position to use it. You can't use no sword standing like this. All they got to do is blow on you and you fall over. It's a battle cry. Are you with me? So the rhema, word of God, Satan tries to call you over. Hey, good looking. God said that I need to save some people, that my testimony, the wrongs that I've done and have been done wrong to me, that he rescued me out of all of that so that I can help some people get salvation eternally. I'm sorry, you will distract me from that. I'm not saying you ain't fine, but guess what? I got a job to do and you will ruin it for me. God told me I was awesome. I don't need you to tell me I'm awesome. I'm not vulnerable to that. I know I'm special. I don't need you to tell me I'm special. God told me he's got a special job for me. The president told me I'm special. You know, that's all you need to hear. Well, the God of the president told you you were special. I know I need to wrap up, and I'm almost there. Hold on to what God has told you. The rhema word now. The rhema word. You need to know this word. And you can quote this word. And you can plead the blood of Jesus because he can't handle that. But what he told you about you and your life is the best weapon against the alternative he's offering you. But if you don't believe it, if you're not bought into it, you're a goner. You can't lose with the armor if you strap it up and you have your guard up. We lose because we haven't done all. We don't stand in the face of the enemy's tricks because we don't do all. We don't put on the whole armor. We give some, we take some. Amen?
Amen.
So he's not stronger than us. We've just been hoodwinked. We've been run amok. We've been led astray. It started, yeah, bamboozled too. Started in the garden. If you think about that, I won't go through the story. We don't have time. But you know what happened in the garden. She got tricked because she had everything and got convinced she had nothing. Think about it now. The problem in our lives is never what we have, what we don't have. Did you know that? Your problem right now is not what you don't have. In almost every situation, the problem in your life, the biggest problem in your life, the thing that's driving you so crazy in your life, the thing that's hindering you in your life is something you do have. Something or someone that you do have. Something or someone that you got convinced somewhere along the way you just had to have. Come on now, I'm preaching now. Something or someone you just had to have. It gets quiet when I'm really preaching. You got convinced you were missing something without it. You got convinced you were less than without that person, without that job, without that career, without that, whatever it is. You got convinced in your mind you just had to have it. You had something to prove to people as opposed to trying to impress God. So the truth is you already have the winning position. You already have the victory. All you got to do is wear your armor. Let's show Satan who's boss by strapping on our armor. Amen?
Amen.
Let's so show Satan who our boss really is. If we don't take his counterfeit and we strap it on for God, you will live a more victorious life. It'll be the exception and not the rule when you lose. But it's only if you want it. Only if you want it. Some of us want to have it both ways. We want to have Christendom and have that little label and be able to call on God, be on a first name basis with God, but still have the darkness that we crave. That's not okay. Last week, we got rid of that darkness mess. Now we're talking about how to operate victoriously in the light.